Thank you so much for listening. I'm Comic Tom, and this is the Bags and Boards Podcast. We are a group of collectors, enthusiasts, fans, entrepreneurs, and content creators who all love comic books. I hope you find our content unique and different. This podcast is sponsored by Mill Geek Comics, a brick and mortar out here in Washington State, as well as Geek Street Comics. If you're in need of a local comic shop, Mill Geek Comics is happy to supply any of your monthly comic book needs and ships across country and worldwide. We also have a comic book subscription service, the Mystery Mail Call, where I, Comic Tom, have the pleasure of sending out collectible comics monthly to you. You can sign up for that at geekstreet101.com. You can watch these podcasts on YouTube at ComicTom101. Follow me on all my social media platforms at ComicTom101.
Awesome.
Cold coffee.
Oh, it's the best.
That's great. Cold coffee. All right. So we last left off. The podcast where you had just purchased an entire comic book store in New York.
That's right.
A whole store.
Everything. Down to the very last die.
Last Star Wars figure, last t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Last magic card. Thousands and thousands of magic cards.
Hundreds of thousands, yeah.
And over 100 long boxes?
Yes.
Probably in the 300s?
I don't even know. Like, looking back, I can't even tell you exactly what we got. All I know is that I remember pulling, if you know anything about Magic the Gathering, I had a 5,000 card box, and every single one was a rare card in this 5,000 count box of Magic the Gathering. And I realized that I'm standing there with this box, and I have three stacks of 5,000 card that were taller than me. And that, so as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, if I wanted to, I can consider that I purchased this box and I got the rest of the store for free.
It's crazy.
And I got that box at a deal, like a screaming deal.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I always...
Right place, right time.
Right. Right friend.
Yeah. Be good to your comic shop owners, because sometimes...
Seriously.
They just decide they don't want their stuff anymore.
Just kind to everyone.
So you took... This mammoth store, this massive collection, brought it to California.
San Jose, California, yes.
And then decided, hey, I'm assuming you were going to start a store.
Right. We wanted to start a comic book store. Obviously, we're very passionate about it. And we, my wife came up with the Geek Street name after, you know, thinking about it for a long time. We decided on Geek Street. I was going to open a store. We knew we were gonna move, so I didn't want to deal with anything until we got to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And at which point, like we mentioned on the last podcast, we found, which was probably the most influential thing that we found in that purchase, was, a book called "So You Want to Be a Comic Book Retailer," and like I said before, the very first thing that it says. Don't. For many, many reasons, location and the percentages of stores that close within the year is just horrific. If you look at those numbers, it's really horrific. And so that kind of took me back. I still wanted to do it. But eventually we came to Washington. And at that point, in the meantime, I decided to start selling stuff on eBay. eBay was pretty young at the time. So
before you continue, I hate to cut you off.
That's okay.
You decided not to open up a retail store.
Well, at that point when I was in California, I wasn't sure, but I decided because we knew we were going to move to Washington, that I obviously wasn't going to do it in California.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes are ridiculous over there. So anyways, I waited. That choice didn't come into play until we actually were in Washington.
And you decided no?
But we decided not to at that point.
So... at this point of the story, this is where we last left off. If you haven't watched the other podcast we did,
check it out.
You should check it out. It's on their YouTube page. And from here, you decided, okay, if we're not going to do a retail store, we have to do something else.
Right.
And this is what we're going to pick up the story.
Exactly.
I'm your host, Comic Tom. We have Rico from the GTFO podcast. And yeah, let's talk art.
Let's do it.
You're back in Washington now.
Right.
And you can open a store, you decide not to. So what do? You have an entire storefront sitting in the, at the time, this was the guest house barn.
Right.
We're moving stuff back and forth. We have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of inventory. Who knows even what that number would be now, because this is back in 2002?
When we moved in 2000, we moved April 2001. So okay. This is 18 years.
Okay.
Just about this time. And so we decided that it just wasn't feasible to start a store. And like I said, we got into this eBay thing. And I had already been doing it in California. And I'm like, you know what? We could just do this and we can still make money and do it online, not have to worry about paying for rent and all that stuff. So we decided, you know, let's not do it. And let's just do it online. However, while I started doing, like I said, in California, I started doing eBay, but I was doing more cards and toys and things like that. And I soon realized I wanted nothing to do with selling comic books online.
On eBay in particular.
On eBay in particular.
Oh, I like that. Let's actually chat about that for a second.
Sure.
Because there's a number of us within the community. Actually, let me take a step back there. I think it's my opinion that these large communities that have formed over the last year and a half, because a lot of these communities are brand new. And Facebook, we're talking Facebook groups,
right,
and Instagram in particular. I get asked a lot, where are the biggest places you can move comic books? How do you sell comic books? I have comic books, where do I go? And everyone's first thing is like, well, eBay, of course, right? Because that's how it's been. It's a staple there. And then we have Amazon, which is like, maybe for more like niche, not even niche stuff. You go niche for eBay, but more of the mainstream stuff, graphic novels, things of that nature.
Right.
But now, in the last 2 years, year and a half, Facebook groups have formed. We have communities, huge communities, thousands and thousands of people who buy, sell, trade on Facebook alone. And then we have, which is my opinion, the best and most community-centric group of collectors, and that's on Instagram. And shout out to my Instagram peeps who are watching us right now. And I think that these groups have formed because of how poorly of an experience eBay has been for both buyers and sellers.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
So I'm interested to hear what your process was and why you chose not to sell on eBay back in 2002, because this is
comics.
Years ago,
right.
And this is comics. And I bet, I don't want to foreshadow it because I kind of know the answer a little bit to an extent, but we haven't chatted much about this.
Mm-hmm.
I bet a lot of those concerns and problems that you had then are the same ones we have now.
Absolutely.
So take it over. Let me tell the fam why it sucked selling on eBay and why you ended up not selling this crazy collection online.
Joseph, it was so much of it. And the thing is, the prospect of having to go through tens of thousands of comic books, each one, look at it and decide what this is graded as, it was such an undertaking that it would have taken me so long. The way, I'm sure there's different ways to do it, but the way that I saw it, it was just too much. And even just doing toys or Magic the Gathering or whatever. And like I said before, those things that I just mentioned are a fraction of all the things that we had concerning, you know, Star Trek The Next Generation.
You bought a whole store.
Right.
So everything that you would think in a store.
Right.
Yeah.
But I started getting feedback. I will look at something and then I get, you know, I send this guy a freaking, by the way, screaming deal of, let's say, Magic cards. And this guy's like, hey, these cards are all messed up. They don't look like they're brand new. I'm like, well, they're not brand new. And I described you exactly. I put pictures of them. I don't know what your problem is. It's like, you saw the picture. Why you, you know, anyway. So I immediately realized I care for comics and I don't want to be sending
you're
somebody.
You're having issues with cards.
Yeah, exactly. I know me. And I know how people are because, again, we worked at a comic book store. I know how picky the people are about what they get and what they look like.
Collectors, you know?
Right. So the ones that I did, because I did some, if I had a near mint comic book, it would be very fine. I always grade it down. And that's up to this day. That's how I do. This book is near mint. I know there's a guy somewhere that will disagree with me. I don't want to deal with it. If you get, nobody's going to complain. Hey, mm-hmm. this dipshit, this is a near mint. Why did you sell it as a very fine? What's wrong with you? Nobody's going to do that. So I realized I don't want to deal with that. So by doing so, we sold everything but the comic books. And it was, I don't even know how many comic books there were, how many comic book boxes, but there were so many that I got sick of just moving them around because of what you said. We have this little guest house, and it has this giant room, and it was from floor to ceiling, from side to side and around in other rooms. And every time we had people over, they said, hey, a friend of ours is coming from out of town. They're going to be here for a week. I need you to move these comic books X. That happened about 35,000 times. You can ask him, because it was me and Tom that would have to move these things. I was so sick of it. And that's why
you had to do it. That's why you were like, you weren't moving forward.
Exactly.
You want to get rid of them.
Right. So, and at that point, somebody had told me, hey, you know what you can do? We have a big, pretty decent comic book convention. Mm-hmm. And for, I believe it was $300, I can get, I believe it's 10 by 10. Space where you can put as many tables as you want. It's a table. So I could actually put three tables. For $300, which is ridiculous if you know how much they are now. At the Emerald City Comic Con.
Yeah, that's the big part there.
Right.
Yeah, some shows are $100, but City right now is like close to $3,000 for a table.
We used to do like smaller comic book shows, and I would pay $25 for a table. So now it's on the thousands of dollars. Anyway, I tell my wife, you know what? I am so sick of moving these. I just want to get rid of them.
So you okay? Before we continue forward, because we're still chatting about the eBay stuff, and I want to bring it back before we go.
Sure, sure.
There's so much to be said there.
Got it.
And we'll get into what happened at this convention, because I'm sure a lot changed when you started selling in person, because it's a completely different ballgame.
Oh yeah, I wasn't prepared.
But you decided not to sell comic books on eBay because of these perceived issues that you were going to have with collectors buying comics.
Absolutely.
Did you actually sell any comics on eBay though? Was there a time frame that you did try it out?
I sold some, not very many. And almost immediately, I want to say it was the very first one that I sold. Even by downgrading what I sold, I still had a guy give me crap about it. I believe it was the only, it was the only negative feedback I had. And to me, again, I'm like, look, you don't like it, I'll send you another
one. So with eBay and... This is, you know, I've been selling on eBay for almost a decade now, which is kind of crazy to think.
Wow.
Because I inherited your store and kept it going there. So with eBay, there's a couple things that, you know, that's a racket when you're selling on eBay. And it's a full-time job for those who sell comic books, you know, on eBay
as
their primary source of income, because you have to list, I'm going to walk it through. For those of you who don't do eBay on a large scale like we have experience doing, this may give you a little bit of background of how prices are formed, or rather made, how the market is adjusted, and also why these communities that we all have all found each other in Facebook, on Instagram, the IG Comic family, for example, how these have formed as well. So you mentioned first grading. Grading is an issue. You know, grading is an issue. That's a pun. But yes, grading. Most people don't grade. They don't know how to grade.
Right.
You know, I can sit and go through and give you my best estimate to the point. No one's going to do that online. Mm-mm. The average seller will not do that. They will just put, yeah, this is a, you know, and honestly, for me, when I post, I don't grade to the point, because that's for your point
exactly.
Lots of puns here. But for your example, there's no reason to grade to the point, because it opens up a can of worms. This person's not going to agree with you.
It's never going to be to your advantage.
CGC can't even agree with themselves.
Right.
So the first thing is grading. A lot of people don't grade. And when they do, you know, it's like, this could be VF, it could be a near mint, but those are very different numbers for most books. So that's the first issue that you have. So you're already treading water with every sale that you make. The next thing, inventory management. behind me is every comic book that I've listed. And there's a lot. And there's a lot of comic books. Some comic books get listed more than once. Sometimes they don't get relisted and I don't know about it. Some comic books in here may be worth $100 and I don't even know what they're doing if they're there. I literally pulled out a Totally Awesome Hulk out of there that wasn't listed, that I didn't even know I had, that I included in the mail call because for whatever reason it didn't get relisted and it's been sitting there. It's a $100 book. So you have inventory management that can get out of control when you're selling on eBay that no one thinks about.
Salmon 18.
Yeah. We have a story about that too, but that's going to be for a later podcast about error prints and oh my gosh, hey, we saved it. So it's cool. But so you have inventory management, which is a hell of a thing. We have customer service that is more strict than most retail stores. To be frank, you have to communicate with people who want their comic books as quickly as possible. And not just that, they're communicating with you about shipping speed, how you're going to ship it, what you're shipping it in, what's in the box to protect it. Is it bagged and boarded? And specifically, how does page 6 look? You know, like all of these things come into play, and every sale on average is going to be less than $20 because who has thousands of $100 books?
Yeah, nobody. And you have hundreds of listings.
Yes. Thousands exactly, if you're doing it right.
Exactly.
So that's another, you know, another piece to it, to this whole thing when individuals decide, hey, I want to start to sell on eBay. Because when we go into purchasing collections, you know, that's probably one of the biggest things is individuals who are like making the decision, do I sell this all to a store? Do I sell it to one person? Or do I just go home and sell it on eBay? And this is the stuff that they find out that, okay, I have to title. I have to go through each one of these listings and it's going to take this much time to do it. I have to take pictures and I have to take high quality pictures. On top of that, we're talking shipping. And on top of that, customer service. And then on top of that, there's a good 20%, no matter who you're selling to, 20% of them are going to have something to say. Whether it's positive feedback, could have been shipped better, could have been shipped faster, whatever it may be, or the grade has, I thought it was a VF, not a VF plus, but whatever. And then on top of all of that, and this is the thing that the numbers, I'm going to throw the numbers out there because I want people to know, because I know these numbers like the back of my hand, the fees for doing it. You have eBay and PayPal fees, okay? You have two different businesses that you're paying, not including USPS, which is shipping fees, you know? And if you're a good seller, you're probably covering shipping like most do. So the eBay and PayPal fee, when you add them together, it's close to 13%. Okay. So right off the bat, eBay is going to be your cheapest option for getting books, although it's like one of the most risky, right?
Absolutely.
So,
and there's so much to it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're monitoring it's good. You're monitoring all the ones that are listed
right. And
the ones that are on auction. You're trying to get the cheapest price, right? So already, you know, you look at a comic book that's maybe guide for $30. Everyone wants it for $25. Obviously. eBay, you can get it for $20 if you're diligent, but you know it's kind of risky. So that book now is $20, right? That's what everyone wants it for. And then that $20 gets a 13% fee right off the top, no matter what. Shipping a comic book in a box, which I'll go on record, if you're not shipping your comic book in a box, you shouldn't be selling comic books.
Absolutely.
Ship it in a box. Ship it in a box. You don't want to ship it in a medium flat rate box, which is like $13. Go to Uline. Buy yourself a 70-cent box. I can't stand people who send me comic books in flimsy cardboard.
And then they complain. All the people that complain, oh my God, this, you know, the postman bent my thing. It's like, guess what? You can't bend a box.
Yeah, you can't bend a box. Yeah,
that's why.
We shipped out a mail call last month. Out of like the 100 we shipped out, there's only been one that I'm like, wow, they look like they ran over the box. And you know what?
They ran.
The contents in the box, the comics were fine. Graphic novel was a little banged up. We're going to make sure that customer's taken care of because that's what we do. But you can't control it. Imagine if that was a little flimsy thing of paper.
I know.
Or cardboard. But right. I digress. So that 13% that goes straight to PayPal and eBay comes off the top for the seller. So now we're already looking at, you know, a good $4 out the door. If you're paying for a 70-cent box like you should be, and then you're also paying for first class shipping for a comic book, that's about $4 right there. Do the math. This book that guides at $30 that you think you should be getting for $25 that sells for $20, you're now getting under $10 for it.
Yep.
And that's not it. Then you have to calculate, all right, I have to list it. I have to look up the price. I have to take pictures of it.
Time.
I have to, oh, it's sold. And the customer has questions. I have to answer the questions. Oh, by the way, you're paying every month per listing. I mean, there's ways that fees are calculated with when you're a larger seller, but it's about 10 cents a listing. You know, you add all these things up and then you go, you know what? I don't want to do this. And that's why most people don't sell on eBay. That's why these collections come up. People ask me, how do you find these collections? It's because the work.
Yeah, people that don't want to.
They don't want to do the work because you know what? The work is fun. People like it. I like it. The group likes it. But when you're bagging and boarding for hours, it doesn't matter how cool the comic is.
Yeah.
Especially when you see some of these comic books over and over again.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not a G.I. Joe fan.
Yeah.
You know how many times I've bagged and boarded a G.I. Joe comic book?
So many times.
What is it with G.I. Joe? I don't understand it. Why does everyone want G.I. Joe? And why 80s, do I always get it?
It's 80s kids. It's true. All about reminiscing. But that is...
G.I. Joe 21 is amazing though. So.
I know. That is why I ended up... I said, okay, I don't want to deal with that. What's easier? Doing what you just spent 10 minutes describing or grabbing this freaking box, take it to a show and have somebody look at it. Hey, he's not going to complain. Hey, you said this was nothing. It's here. Buy it or don't. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to sell them. And the easiest way to get rid of them is to sell them as cheap as I can. And the one thing that you have to realize about me, I love comics, but to me, I see everything as like, this is what I paid for it. To me, it's more important that I can, one, my very number one priority or favorite thing for me to do is to turn somebody on to something that they're not into. It's probably the best thing other than The Hunt. If I can sell it, I have a $100 book and you come up to my table. I'm like, you know what? I love the G.I. Joe movies. I like whatever. $100. I'll give you $50. And I'm going to say exactly. This is an example of kind of, I would sell that to you. I'd rather sell it for $50 than go around and wait 5 years to find the one person that will give me actual.
If it's worth $100.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. But anyway, I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sell at 50 cents. I'm still making like 500% profit on each comic book that I sell. To me, mm-hmm. it's a no-brainer.
Sure.
My wife is like, let's do it.
Just dump them.
Thank God we couldn't bring every single comic book box mm-hmm. that we had. Everything 50 cents. And at Thursday night, again, this is my very first show. Thursday night, I get there. And hey, one of the guys, hey, I'm also selling here. What do you have? I'm like, hey, I just got these. This is my collection. I just want to get rid of them. 50 cents a piece. Like, oh, okay. Guy looks for like 2 seconds. He's like, oh God. Okay. He grabs, comes back with an empty box, starts throwing stuff in there. I made about $4,000 before the show started, just selling to the dealers, and
that's not a good sign.
They landed halfway through there. I'm thinking, I might have made a mistake.
Okay, so I like that ending right there because that is a whole nother story. Because this is where things start to kind of take off for the business.
That's right.
This is when you started getting busy. Is because you started selling in person. You started meeting dealers. Because you're just learning how to do this.
That's right.
So I think that's a great place to stop. We're going to pick this up soon.
Absolutely.
We appreciate your time. And thank you so much for joining me on the mic again. You know, some of the videos we made living in the back of a comic book store. A lot of people liked that. We put that on Facebook. And that's like one of our highest viewed videos on Facebook.
It was great. It's our life.
Right.
We don't think about it, but when you step back and look at it, that actually is really, really cool.
Super interesting.
Yeah, it was a good time. And I am so appreciative of that. I got that in my life. I got that opportunity to do something that cool and something that, you know, that I love. Not many people get to do that. What we do, right. We do something that we are passionate about. So that's really cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation. And we're going to wrap this up. So thank you again for joining us today. We appreciate your time. And as always,
geek responsibly.
Enough said. Like and subscribe and go to GeekStreet101.com to get some comic books.